Welcome to Jaguars This Week, presented by Aetna, with the voice of the Jaguars, Brian Sexton, color analyst Jeff Lagerman, and Jaguars.com senior editor Vic Ketchman. Jaguars This Week, presented by Aetna, is brought to you by Ticket Exchange, Community First Credit Union, Carrie Limousine, Wachovia, Sonny's Barbecue, and by Everbank. Jaguars This Week begins right now.
Good evening and welcome to Jaguars This Week, Wednesday evening, 10 days before Christmas. And of course, it's presented by our friends at Aetna, Brian Sexton, Jeff Lagerman, Vic Ketchman, Joe Fortunato, live from Everbank Field in Jacksonville. Been an interesting day.
Yes, it has.
It's obviously a very interesting week as we roll down to what is known as the AFC South title game.
Mm-hmm.
On Sunday afternoon. I just checked with you to make sure.
Yeah.
Win, and it's an absolute clinch. There's no scenario if they lose that they don't win the division.
Nope, it's just real simple. Win the game and you are the 2010 AFC South Division titles, but not the Colts. They have to do more. It won't be that for them. That's just for the Jaguars.
So if they go 8-6, if the Colts were to win, they would have to win out.
They have to win two more.
Because if they would lose in Oakland the next Sunday, they would lose the common...
Jaguars only have opponents. To win one more game, but it's got to be this one.
Yeah.
If they were to lose Sunday, then, oh, man,
it's all kinds
of
scenarios.
A sudden, all these other things you have to do come back into play. Well, but, you've got to win your next two games, and the Colts have to lose one more game.
Right. So but it's a clinch. It is absolutely a clinch.
Dunville.
Just wanted to make sure.
And that's the way you want it.
Without a doubt.
I mean, you don't want it any other way.
Mm-hmm.
To go to the team that has dominated the division since the realignment, to have to go to their place and beat them.
You know, and Vic, I know the question started rolling in to ask Vic, you know, in the late hours of Sunday after they beat the Raiders. Did you go back and look, you know, game by game regular season to find one?
Cannot find one game in this team's history
that had the build-up like this one.
Well, it's not just a build-up. No, there have been games with build-up. But there has not, for instance... The first Monday night game in Jaguars history was in 1997, and it was preceded by a bye week. That was the Chris Hudson, Bill Cowher fake punch game.
And that was the Mark Brunell return.
It had a bye week, I believe, in front of it.
It did.
So it had oodles and oodles of hype and buildup. You know, the first Monday night game, home game in Jaguars history. But there's been no game in Jaguars regular season Jaguars history, in which... The title was on the line for both teams.
Right.
There have been times, for instance, the Jaguars hosted a game here, I believe, in 1998 against the Tennessee Oilers.
December 13th, yep.
When they could have won the division title by winning the game.
Jamie Martin got hurt, John Quinn had to play, and they got beat.
But the Titans were out of it. For them, that was just playing a football game.
The Oilers, yeah.
This one, you've got a head-to-head, as Jeff said, you know, I mean, you're up against the team that is the is on a string of 8 consecutive playoff seasons, is the defending AFC South champion, and is the dominant team in the division in this new century.
Let me make sure I get this clarified, because I was reading the Indianapolis Colts release, which can be very confusing. It's now, is this the 9th year since realignment, correct?
2002 was the first season.
So that makes this number 9, right?
The 9th season.
Okay, so in the previous 8 seasons, the Indianapolis Colts have been in the playoffs
every year. That's correct. Division champion each year.
But they've been division champion 6 out of those 8 years.
I believe you're correct.
It is correct. Yep, 6 of the 8.
And the Titans in the other 2.
That's a phenomenal number.
They have
the longest streak in the NFL.
Yeah. They're the second longest streak in NFL history, right? Or is it the longest?
No, I think it's second longest.
Buffalo had I think Buffalo is the other one. They had a real long run like that. Let me say this for people who might be baseball fans. The Indianapolis Colts are the Atlanta Braves. If they've got one World Series, quote-unquote, title to their credit through this entire run of dominance, whereas the Patriots are going for number 4 and the Steelers are going for number 3, and neither one of them, frankly, has dominated like the Colts have. They've won more games in this decade than any team in the NFL.
40-12 division record since 2002
Fabulous.
Realignment.
They've owned it.
This is a great run. No, there's I'm not going to crack wise about them or their quarterback on this, because when it comes to regular season football, they have been a powerhouse. They've been a dynamo, and I respect what they've done completely. All that other stuff is postseason, and yeah, I take shots and I mean them. it's not just playful. I mean, they have been a postseason dog. They have been an underachiever.
What's Peyton's postseason record? Is it?
It's right around 500.
8-10, something like that.
You know, the thing about that, you know, it's like Dan Marino, same deal. You only get one loss in the postseason.
Right.
You see, it's not like you get a 4-game schedule. You only get one loss. So every one of those defeats represents a whole year of failure.
I went back and looked, and I just tried to remember, you know, the way that I approached the week of all these games. And the only other game that had this kind of significance.
Give it to me.
The Atlanta game here in 96, because we knew that would cap a 5-game winning streak that would put them in the playoffs that day.
But You're absolutely right.
But it didn't have the meaning for Atlanta.
Oh, Atlanta was like 4-11.
You're right. No, it didn't. It did not have the meaning for Atlanta.
Yeah.
But it did from a build-up to the week. If you remember, Logs, I mean, you obviously were playing.
Oh, yeah.
But you may have been so focused. But that week was, because it was right around Christmas. Remember, that was December 22nd. And the build-up, because people were, you remember the way that people were rallying around this team at that moment, it was before the crowd at the airport after Buffalo. So that was the only other game that I could come up with that had this kind of significance. And I threw out the Oilers game on opening day 1995 because that clearly is a different situation. So that would make this Sunday's game unique in the regular season in Jaguars history.
Yeah, no
doubt. For that very reason that you just mentioned, Lars.
There's been none bigger. There's been none bigger at all.
Probably the closest thing would be Pittsburgh in 1996, at Pittsburgh in 96, the overtime thriller.
That was 97.
No,
it was 97.
Yeah, that was 97.
Yeah, that was 97.
97? Yeah. Okay. Overtime thriller, just a sensational game. That was the year of the first Monday night game.
96 was the Andre Rising.
But that wasn't as late in the season. It was definitely, as it turned out, that was the showdown for the AFC Central title.
It was October 26th.
I mean, that was the game that decided the title, but it was in October.
But you didn't know it. Yeah, you didn't know it at that time.
Here you are, baby, a week before Christmas. Here it is.
Does the NFL regret not having this game Sunday night?
I mean,
the Patriots are playing on Sunday night, which, I mean, you know, you never regret that.
No, and they thought they were getting the Packers and the Patriots with Aaron Rodgers, but now that's not the same game that you thought because it's his second concussion and no one expects him to play. He's not going to practice all week, according to McCarthy.
Could turn out to be a dog of a game compared to what this game is going to
be. But, you know, gentlemen, we are on a great run. This show is on a great run of clairvoyance. Do you remember about a month ago we talked about this weekend? I remember we said, there's a weekend coming up where there's going to be a ton of these great games. Well, this is it. This is the weekend.
Yeah.
The Jaguars and the Colts, the Steelers and the Jets, the Patriots and the Packers, which now doesn't have the luster that it did. The Giants and the Eagles. The Giants and the Eagles, it's just a great
game. It's sensational.
Always a big game.
This is a fantastic weekend schedule.
And when they originally made it, Chicago at Minnesota for the Monday night game.
Sure.
You thought that was going to be it, too.
You thought that was going to be Brett
Favre. I'm missing one. There's another one in here. New Orleans and Baltimore. It's another great game.
One.
Really tremendous. By the way,
best weekend of the season, by far.
If the NFL Network wants ratings, why do they have San Francisco and San Diego on Thursday night? Does anybody east of the Rocky Mountains care? And that's where all the people are, by the way.
The true NFL fans do, but I think if you want to have NFL Network games, I think you got to stick within the conference. You know, here you got, you know, an AFC and an NFC team playing. I'd rather stick within conferences.
Yeah. Well, I mean, I'm just looking at a couple other games now, not those big ones, but Washington at Dallas. You know, early in the year when they made the schedule, Houston at Tennessee, everyone thought that those would be two teams fighting with Indianapolis. That might have been a better Thursday night game. Of course, Tennessee was on last week. So, anyway, just pointing it out, that's not a game that gets a lot of people's attention.
I got a question today, and I was going to poke fun at it, and then I stopped and I said, well, how dare you, Vic? How dare you do that? This guy's asking a legitimate question, and frankly, I wish it was this way. And the question was, hey, Vic, after the Jaguars win on Sunday, will there be an AFC South division title trophy presentation? You know, and I was going, oh, yeah, this is professional football. This isn't the Southeastern Conference. And, you know, the guy's right. We need some of that. We need some of that. They wanted to do away some years ago. There was a movement. In fact, the Jaguars were spearheading it to do away with the division title champion getting the home field advantage.
Right.
Oh, I bet
they
you they, I bet you they're glad they didn't.
Yeah.
You know.
Yeah.
I remember when they were all hotsy-totsy about that, and now it's, as it turns out, they're glad they didn't do it. Didn't even go to a vote. But we need this division kind of flavor. We've never had it.
No.
In these incestuous divisions like the North and the West and the East, in the AFC, for example, and the NFC East and the NFC North, they have that. I mean, it really matters to them who wins that division title.
You know, and there were some comments attributed to Eric Winston and Chris Hope on Pro Football Talk today. Hope, the Titans safety, Winston, the Texans
right tackle.
And both of them said the Colts will win the division.
Mm-hmm.
The Colts will win on Sunday. Mm-hmm. And I thought...
Well, they're all afraid of the upstart team.
Well, yeah, I know, but I thought that was good.
Mm-hmm.
I liked seeing that because it meant that there was some animosity there. The Texans got beat on the Hail Mary play.
Mm-hmm.
The Titans just got run over for 258 yards. Kind of like the animosity. It kind of gave it some flavor, like you said, we have not had in the South.
Yeah, we need a little more of that division pride. It's a good thing.
And, all right,
and getting a win at Indianapolis would go more towards establishing that
than anything else.
Especially if there's a lot of noise in the stadium.
Real noise?
Whoa, we'll do that one. Hold that thought, please. Hold that thought. That's a great tease. It's time for us to take a quick timeout. We'll return. More Jaguars This Week, presented by Aetna on News Talk Radio WOKV. Depend on it.
To talk to Brian, Jeff, and Vic, dial 355-NFL1 or 1-800-355-NFL1. Now, back to Jaguars This Week, presented by Aetna on News Talk Radio WOKV.
All right, Joe, before I give the phone number, you feeling like answering the phone tonight? Because I think the phone lines are going to light up. Should I give it or not?
Yeah, go for it.
All right, just wanted to make sure. 355-NFL1. Are you comfortable in that chair?
Yeah, I love it.
Vic is sitting a foot lower than the table right now.
What was that guy, Tim used to do the short golfer.
Tim Conway.
You're looking like Tim Conway in that chair right now.
Dwarf on golf.
355-NFL-1800.
Dwarf on radio.
All right, you guys know the number. Let me throw these numbers out, Loggy.
Can you hear that on the radio?
He's giving me the one-finger salute. I'm number one.
Let me give you some numbers, Loggy, and I want to get your reaction to it, and Vic, you as well. The Jaguars have played... This is since 2006 against the Colts, right? 9 games since Maurice Jones-Drew entered the lineup. The Jaguars have outrushed the Colts to a tune of 1,619 yards to 636, right? In those games. Of course, you had a couple of big ones. You had the 375 and the 236. The average is 180 yards to 70 per game. The Jaguars outrushed the Colts by 110 yards a game. Now,
this is since what year?
Since Maurice Jones-Drew joined the club 06. In 06,
okay.
Right? 9 games. In those 9 games, the Jaguars have just 3 wins. Mm-hmm. So we talk all the time about run, 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 control, 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 and yet just 3 wins.
Well, you know, this
you got to look at the points.
You know, this game, this Sunday, is a classic run the ball, stop the run game.
Whoa,
let him go.
What do
you
mean?
You doubt that?
Run the ball, stop the run.
Mr. Analyst, doubt that?
For the Colts?
No, this is a classic run the ball, stop the run game.
Explain.
In all of the games the Colts have lost this year, their opponent has rushed for more than 90 yards and held the Colts to less than 90 yards rushing.
Okay.
That's an interesting stat.
It is.
And by the way, a fan gave that to me.
That's pretty good.
So you run the ball, stop the run. I mean, it's what it says. You beat the Colts by making them one-dimensional.
I would think
they are one-dimensional.
Well, then the game was already won.
the Colts have only run for 1,036 yards total this season, which is just under 80 per game. The Jaguars have run for 700 the last 3 games. I mean, if you want to have any confidence in run the ball, stop the run, well, I mean, right there tells you. I mean, this has become it's the second best rushing team in the league, right?
Mm-hmm.
3 straight 200-yard games. I would think 4 is on the horizon. By the way, you know the Chiefs have 5 200-yard rushing games this year?
Yeah, they were just
165.
Fabulous.
They're about 8 yards more per game than the Jaguars.
It takes nothing to analyze this game. It's in the hands for the Colts. It's in the hands of one man. That's all.
18.
It's just in the hands of Peyton Manning. And if there's ever been a case of one player having a target on his back, or having a green light on his head.
Or being the true definition of MVP. He's it.
Yeah, and you've got to get the man. He's the trophy. You've got to sack him. You've got to get him.
Well, you don't necessarily have to sack him.
They got him once here, you know, in October.
We had Jeremy Mincy on All Access television show Monday night. And I said to Jeremy, I said, you know, the one thing that I guarantee you you'll be talking about this week to the media will be getting Peyton Manning off the spot.
Mm-hmm.
And it's not so much about sacks, because I think this year he's been sacked like once every 40 or 41 mm-hmm. pass attempts. It just can't do it.
He's been hit a lot, though.
But he's been hit a lot. Mm-hmm. And that's where, in fact, it lies the real key is to make him uncomfortable, because he will throw the ball away where he knows where to throw the ball away when he has to, and he avoids a lot of sacks that way. But you got to get him off the spot. Get him uncomfortable, because, you know, in that three-game stretch that he had this year, he was off the spot, mm-hmm. and he was off the mark.
Mm-hmm.
Let me throw this one out there. The offensive line for the Colts is not – it's never been filled with stars. I mean, Tarik Glenn was a two-time Pro Bowler. Mm-hmm. Saturday's a multiple-year Pro Bowler. Ryan Deema is a highly paid right tackle. Howard Mudd always did a really good job at plugging guys in.
Mm-hmm.
Well, now you got Charlie Johnson, who missed practice today. And you've got Jeff Linkenbach, who's a rookie free agent from Cincinnati, who may step in. He may play guard. He may play tackle.
Yeah, you don't know what they're going to do. They may shuffle.
How much does the offensive line issues, or do, I should say, the offensive line issues in 2010 impact Peyton's inconsistency?
No, I think it's a lot. I mean, it's when you watch him, you know, Peyton's always had happy feet. And when I went back and watched the game that they just played, which was what, Tennessee,
mm-hmm. yeah.
Thursday night and oh, yeah. last week. And, you know, he always has those nervous feet. I mean, he's had that since his days at Tennessee. He's probably had it since he was in the Little League. But he even still, there's a calm about his feet, even to that level, that you can tell mm-hmm. when he has protection and he's so much more accurate. And when he has to just adjust just a little bit, he's not the same. You know, so making his feet uncomfortable is the whole key to stopping them. And I don't know if you will stop them, you know, because offensively, you know, this game is about possession and points. That's what it's about.
Well, and it brings up an interesting number. Anyone who watched the NFL Network broadcast last week heard this, and that is any team that's beaten them this year has scored at least 26 points.
Mm-hmm. You got to score points. And one way that you can do that is to get takeaways. You know, I've pulled a number, went back and looked at some of the Jaguars games that Ryan Robinson and Dan Edwards had listed. And in 18 career games that Peyton has against the Jaguars, he's had two games where he's thrown two interceptions, and he's 0-2. So getting him uncomfortable and off of that spot and finding a way to get a couple takeaways to limit their possessions and to give the offense the ball back is certainly going to be key. And I went back and looked at his career. And in his career, when he throws two interceptions, he's 16-22 overall. So finding a way to get two balls somehow, some way, is going to be critical.
I got a question for you before we go to the bottom of the hour break. Is it possible that the Oakland Raiders could beat the Colts in Oakland?
No doubt.
It's possible.
No doubt.
Okay, folks, I'm getting the big question I'm getting this week, if the Jaguars should lose Sunday, is what are their chances of what would it take to win the division and make the playoffs? And that's the flip side. The Jaguars then would have to win their next two games against Washington and Houston, and Houston won't be a layup. And the Colts would have to lose one more time, and the best shot of losing, Jeff has just told you, would be at Oakland. So,
yeah,
so it is possible that they could lose and do it, but
because they've got Oakland and Tennessee left, and they're not going to lose to Tennessee.
No, not at home.
But, you know, the Jaguars got to go to Houston, and you got a good look at them on...
You said it. Hey, look, you said it best. What are you all afraid of?
This is it.
Just go win. Here's your chance. Yeah. Go ahead and
you don't want to do it any other way.
No, absolutely. You want to take it from them instead of have them drop it in your lap. All right, folks, as we head to news at the bottom of the hour, this Thursday, That's tomorrow from 3 to 4 in the afternoon. Sargento is sending Santa DeVille and two of his helpers to the Winn-Dixie on Park Avenue in Orange Park. They'll be looking for shoppers with Sargento products in their carts and giving them Sargento prizes, including tickets to the Jaguars-Redskins game the day after Christmas. If you'd like details, go to the Roars Facebook page or the Fan Zone in Jaguars.com.
Hey, I got a question.
Yeah.
Who is Santa DeVille?
That is one we'll have to answer for you after the break.
Okay.
Stay tuned, folks. News is next on News Talk Radio WOKV. Depend on it.
To talk to Brian, Jeff, and Vic, dial 355-NFL-1 or 1-800-355-NFL-1. Now, back to Jaguars This Week, presented by Aetna on News Talk Radio WOKV.
Calls are building here on Jaguars This Week. We'll get right to the phone lines after this. I want to throw one more set of numbers at you. Reggie Wayne, last three games, he made the big catch along the sideline here to set up the...
Three games against the Jaguars.
Yeah, last three against the Jaguars.
Okay.
30 catches, 490 yards, oof, two touchdowns. Yeah. And, more importantly, he made the big catch down the sideline here late in the game that set up the game-tying touchdown. And, of course, he made the 65-yard catch last December here that sent Reggie Nelson packing.
And so, then the game this year, that was a Colts single-season or single-game record.
15 catches.
Was yeah, it 196?
196.
The big complaint by fans after that game was that the Jaguars didn't assign Rasheen Mathis to Reggie Wayne all over the field. Do you think they'll do that this time, Jeff?
I think they will this time. But
will it make a difference?
I hope it does. But the last game, Rasheen wasn't, I don't think, playing well enough to warrant that.
Yes.
You know.
And Derek Cox was not playing at all. So they end up with David Jones guarding, defending against Reggie Wayne quite a bit, and Wayne just killed him.
Well, and Wayne has 800-yard games in his career against the Jaguars. And he has seven with at least seven catches. So he's always kind of been a playmaker.
There's kind of two ways that you can approach that. And the first way is to take Rasheen, if you feel confident that he can handle it, to let him cover Reggie Wayne. Reggie Wayne is a left-side guy. The Colts never, when they had Marvin Harrison and Reggie Wayne, Reggie was left, Marvin was right. That's how they always did it. Well, with the Jaguars, Rasheen is on the opposite side. He's a left corner. So you could take the approach, well, we want to take Rasheen and move him to the other side, and the technique all kind of switches around. Or you say, we're going to lean our safety over that way to help Derek Cox out, to help shut down him, and then let Rasheen take away either Pierre Garçon or Austin Colley. So there's two approaches to that. My guess would be is that they're going to go with the second approach and leave Rasheen there as opposed to flopping him sides where he hasn't been on the right very much.
Are they going to get – how much of this Blair White guy are they going to get?
Well, Colley practiced today,
uh-huh,
so they'll probably see more of Colley if the concussion symptoms settle down. Uh-huh. It's been a month now. But Blair White's made some big catches for them this year. Uh-huh. He made a big catch here too. Let's grab some phone calls here, and then we've got lots more to talk about, matchups in particular for the Sunday showdown, AFC South title game at Lucas Oil Field. We've got Dan in Rochester, New York. He's been holding the longest. Dan, welcome to the program.
Hey, guys. How you doing?
Good.
Hey, I just had a question about Jason Hill, our receiver there. Why was he waived by the 49ers? I never caught that, really.
Nope, nobody seems to know. Was it a personality thing? But one thing I can tell you, has Mike Singletary really done anything that's made a whole lot of sense in San Francisco?
He yells.
Yeah.
Yelling's good.
Yeah, so, I mean, and the coaches are kind of wondering exactly why Jason Hill got released from San Francisco, but I can tell you this, they're happy he did. I mean, he has been a really nice acquisition at the midpoint of a season.
He's not a tough guy, and Mike Singletary likes tough guys, and that's why he was waived.
I mean, all right, wide receivers. I mean, nowadays with the way they're protecting them, you know, defenseless receivers, do you have to be tough anymore?
Well, no, I'm with you. I'm telling you that's what the word is. When I've talked to guys, I asked the same question to the media people and who know these things, and that was the answer, that Mike Singletary is one of these
look me in the eye kind of guy. You know, I got to see the fire, and this is not a fire guy.
He's been pretty good, you know, and obviously the big catch there in the third quarter coming out the second half was a big play. But when you watched him on the other plays, when I was breaking down game film, I mean, this is a guy that's got top-end speed. Mm-hmm. And that's really what they needed. That's what they're hoping that, you know, Tyquan would be able to have. And so to be able to pick a guy up midseason after Tyquan struggled in that one game and insert Jason Hill in, hey, that's pretty good.
Well, you know, GM Gene is on a run here. You know, I have
a
feeling.
By the way, he tagged him with something that built on your GM Gene the other day. I went to GM Genius.
He's been a genius. There's no question. I mean, everything he's touched here has turned to gold. And guys get on runs like that, and then all of a sudden they get on a run where everything they touch turns to something else, you know. But while it's going good, enjoy it.
Well, Peter King had him in his Monday Morning Quarterback column, mm-hmm. which is well read around the National Football League, so the secret's starting to get out.
Yep.
355-NFL-1. Dan, we certainly appreciate your participation this evening. Mike's on the south side next. Hello, Mike. Welcome to the show.
Hey, good evening, guys. How you doing?
Good.
I guess this game just worries me. You know, I've been a fan since 95 and kind of grew up with the Jags, and I want so bad to have that feeling that we had, you know, back in 96 and 99. I guess my question or my comment is geared more towards Jeff because he watches the tape. I mean, what do we need to do to win this game, and do you think we have a good, legitimate shot at winning this game? I mean, Peyton Manning just scares me. So I just want to see what you think, and I'll take your comments off the air. I really appreciate it.
Before you answer that real quick, hey, mm-hmm. Mike, don't hang up. Better to have loved and lost than never loved at all. Yeah, there are people that are so scared.
Don't be scared.
They're so scared.
Don't be scared.
Don't be scared. Don't worry.
It makes no sense. I mean,
don't sit and fret about Peyton Manning.
Yeah, I mean, it's just a football game. Enjoy it.
Put your heart on the line.
If it's not enjoyable, then discard it, you know. But don't carry the baggage if you're not getting the salary. You know what I mean? These players, make them carry the baggage. They're getting paid to carry it. You're not getting paid to carry it.
Be willing to have your heart broken.
Yeah.
Enjoy the game. Go all out this week.
Don't allow your heart to be broken. If it doesn't go well, move on to something else. Don't carry it.
I was hoping that you, instead of, you know, treating everybody nice on the couch with that little, you know, psychological
jackwagon
babble.
Well, do the players care?
I was hoping that you were going to be like that guy, that drill sergeant guy who does the.
Well, I'm not going to do that.
What does he say? Yeah.
He goes, "You jackwagon."
You know what makes me sad?
Jackwagon.
You do, you jackwagon.
Throws the box of tissues. Come on, man. Mike, let it all hang out this week. Throw your heart out there. Don't worry.
That's one of the greatest commercials I've ever
seen. Really, you know what sadness
every time it comes
means.
On,
you
my...
do, you jackwagon.
Every time it comes on, my wife says,
"You mamby pamby."
Every time that commercial comes on, my wife says, "That guy reminds me of you."
Yes. That's why Loggy was expecting you to go, "You jackwagon."
You disappointed me there, Vic. You had a real opportunity.
I'm trying
you
to
just
be a nice guy. No,
you just dropped the ball.
It doesn't drive ratings, Vic. It does not drive ratings. 355
right,
NFL 1.
Keys to victory real quick. Well, I mean, it's there's no secret. You know, possess the ball. That keeps Peyton on the bench. But when you possess the ball, you've got to get points offensively. Defensively, two takeaways. Plus two in turnover differential is key, and you need to dominate them on special teams because they're terrible on special teams. Simple enough. You do that, you win.
Easy. Easy peasy, lemon squeezy.
And possessing the ball means running up there.
Yeah, well, again, the numbers say.
Down the throat, I keep telling you. Not up the, down the.
And that's it, you jackwagon.
I always wanted to say that to a caller. And you know what? If you call this evening.
Just kidding, Mike.
And you're light. And you're frightened, you're going to get jackwagoned. 355-NFL-1, 355-6351. Nick is up next with one of Loggy's favorite guys. A thought on Charles Mincy. Go ahead, Nick.
Hey, how you guys doing?
Good. I'm sorry. I didn't mean Charles Mincy. I meant Jeremy Mincy.
I was going to say, y'all guys do a great job covering the Jaguars.
Thanks.
And I had two questions. What do you think of Jeremy Mincy's potential? And he reminds me a lot of Paul Spicer. And what do you, from Derek Cox's rookie year, would you say he progressed and I mean going into this year, and I'll take your comments up there.
Well, I'll start, and then I'll turn over to Jeff. The thing that struck me right away about Jeremy Mincy is that in interviewing him way back when he was just a guy trying to stick, and he was had been cut by the Patriots, he told me that when he got cut, Belichick actually sat down and talked to him, which is, you know, Belichick is, he's kind of, well, you're cut, get out of here guy. And Belichick spent time with him because Belichick was fond of him as a player, thought he had some ability, and talked to him about you need to get with a 4-3 team and play end. We thought we could, you know, play you as a linebacker. So the bottom line is that Jeremy Mincy has been until this point in his career a tweener. Not mobile enough to play linebacker, but not really big enough to play end. He has reached that point now where he's big enough, he's strong enough, and he knows how to play the position well enough that he can actually be a hand-on-the-ground defensive end, and I'll turn it over to Jeff.
Yeah, see, I think he's always been, you know, big enough to play defensive end.
Patriots played him as a linebacker.
Yeah, the Patriots. For him, back in 06, maybe he was viewed as a tweener, but ever since he was here, his biggest problem has just been staying healthy. Clearly, in 09 training camp, I said this to everybody that will listen, he's the best defensive end in training
camp.
Yes,
you did. You said it.
And I was disappointed that the GM genius let him go, you know, but that was partly due to injury, and I was hoping that he would bring him back. It didn't happen during the course of the season last year. They ended up bringing him back at the end of the season. But I always believed in Jeremy. To me, you know, to find a good player, it's got to start with desire. And you can clearly see that Jeremy has desire by looking at the way he plays the game. He plays the game like it's meant to be played, with heart, with desire, with dedication, and with a motor.
He lives a life that way. He went back and got an extra degree or something like that. I mean, he went back and completed his schooling and then got some schooling on top of that. He's been aggressive with everything in his life. He's a high-energy guy.
Well, and the other thing is he's a guy who went to junior college for 2 years out in Kansas in the
Jayhawk
League, Butler County, in El Dorado, Kansas. And then went to Florida, and then went to the NFL, and then got cut, and kept coming back. So, you know, he's never been an easy road guy.
And you know what I love about him? When we had him on the show, and Brian asked him, why Florida? You know, he grew up in Statesboro, Georgia. And you remember his answer?
I do.
He said, Georgia didn't want me, so I said, if they don't want me, I'm going to go somewhere to beat them. I love that attitude.
That's great.
He's a guy of confrontation. I mean, he wants to take you
and
on.
It's a game of confrontation.
There's no question.
And folks, remember, he's getting the production that he's got right now with the old parade wave hand.
Yeah.
The casted hand.
Yeah.
I mean, to be able to generate 5 sacks with the parade wave hand, one hand in a cast where you can't grab, pretty doggone good.
All right, folks, phones are lighting up. We need a break. We'll come back. But first, to Jaguars fans, check out the Fan Zone section at Jaguars.com and see how you can win Jaguars tickets and some great Jaguars merchandise. Look for the list of participating Parts House Car Care Center. The Parts House is an official sponsor of the Jacksonville Jaguars.
Hey, real quick, the second part of that question, Vic. Derek Cox, improved or the same as last year or worse?
He's not as good a player right now as he was last year. But he's a much better player than he was early this season. He's just not turning his hips and running like he did last year.
I agree.
All right, more to come. After this, on News Talk Radio, WOKV. Depend on it.
To talk to Brian, Jeff, and Vic, dial 355-NFL1 or 1-800-355-NFL1. Now, back to Jaguars This Week, presented by Aetna on News Talk Radio, WOKV.
You know what makes me sad?
You do! Maybe we should chug on over to Mamby Pamby Land, where maybe we can find some self-confidence for you, you jackwagon!
You better bring it tonight. That's all we're saying, because we're not taking any of this. I'm really worried about the game stuff, with all due respect to our friend Mike. Let it all hang out, folks. This is what you want.
Yeah, that wasn't about Mike. That was just about something that was in my mind.
Swagger. We want to see some swagger this week. 355-NFL1, and we go back to the phone lines. Kyle is standing by. Welcome to the show, Kyle.
Brian, Vic, Jeff, hey, you guys are great. By the way, you're the other half of the Jaguars. Thank you so much for what y'all do.
Happy to help.
You.
just a quick question. In the event, in which it's not going to happen because we're going to win on Sunday, but in the event it were to come to a tiebreaker, it's my understanding, unlike college ball, we would have to possibly play the Colts again. Is that a possibility?
No. No, it eventually, if all the tiebreakers fail to break the tie, the last one is flip a coin. There's no one game playoff for the division title. Should the Colts win and the Jaguars finish the season tied, the Colts will win the tiebreaker, the common games tiebreaker, and they will claim the AFC South title. Then, of course, the Jaguars would have to see where they stand for the wild card, and I don't think it would look good because they would have to have the Jets or Ravens and the Chargers collapse.
And by the way, the Jets are kind of in the middle of that right now, aren't they?
Yeah, but the Chargers have got the head-to-head on you, and, you know, and if you look at what they have left, they ain't going to lose.
No, I'm just talking about the Jets all of a sudden.
Yeah, they scored a touchdown two games.
Well, and now they've got the whole Salalosi thing, and, you know, you saw that today, by the way, that they suspended him indefinitely. They extended it. You got that nightmare to mess with, and you're going to Pittsburgh.
And then Chicago.
Yeah, that's not really necessarily.
And you've got two tough road games coming up. They could very easily be sitting at 10-6, and I believe the Jaguars would win that tiebreaker if they lost to the Colts and won their next two. But you see, if the Chargers were 10-6, then it's a 3-way tiebreaker, and the Jaguars lose that one.
All right. 355 NFL 1-800-355-6351.
The tiebreakers for two teams and three teams are different.
They bring in
different elements, so that's what I mean.
Hey, folks, when the Jaguars win, everyone wins at Sonny's Real Pit Barbecue. You get a free barbecue pork sandwich with your game day ticket stub on a Monday or Tuesday after the Jaguars win at Everbank Field. That's at all participating North Florida Sonny's Real Pit Barbecue Restaurant.
So let me say this one more time. The wild card, I think we should forget about that. That's not going to happen. I think it's come down to this. Win on Sunday and win the division, or if you lose on Sunday, then hope like heck that the Colts lose in Oakland.
You know what I say?
And that's about all. That's what it's. That's
you know
all
what I say? Let's take it one week at a time.
Yeah, exactly.
I mean, let's not start thinking about scenarios,
Jeff,
down the road.
The fans aren't players. They don't have to prepare their minds.
No. I'm just saying, enjoy the week for what it
I
is.
I totally agree.
You know, I mean,
soak it up.
Don't start thinking down the road. Just enjoy the week for what it's going to be. And that is a division title at stake for the Jaguars.
Fans really want a home playoff game.
That means you win on Sunday.
Okay. They'll take it any way they can get it.
Right.
They really want a home playoff game. Now, tickets information went out this week, you know, chance to buy. And I'm getting flooded with people. Oh, Vic, my $50 tickets for the playoffs are $200. Folks, go back and look again. I think that's for three games. So be careful before you have a heart attack, as I did at this time last year, and it wasn't about playoff tickets. It was about having eaten too many hot dogs. Go back and look at your ticket information, that ticket application request, whatever it is. I don't think that price is not for one game. It's for if they were to play three playoff games here. You've got to commit, I believe, to all of them. That doesn't mean they're going to run your car.
No, they're not until the games are confirmed.
Right, but you have to. That's what you have to do. You have to commit to all three, not just one.
All right, it's time for news at the top of the hour here, folks. When you're looking for department store style this holiday season, but at discount prices, look no further than your neighborhood Stein Mart for your Christmas shopping. Six Jacksonville locations, Stein Mart. More fashion, less price. In another hour of Jaguars This Week, right after this on News Talk Radio, WOKV. Depend on it.
To talk to Brian, Jeff, and Vic, dial 355-NFL-1 or 1-800-355-NFL-1. Now, back to Jaguars This Week, presented by Aetna on News Talk Radio, WOKV.
Welcome back. Hour number two, Jaguars This Week, presented by Aetna. Only on News Talk Radio, WOKV. Brian Sexton, Vic Ketchman, Jeff Loggeman, Joe Fortunato. Phone lines are stacked.
Yeah, and it's nice to see. I'm looking at the phone right now, and I see all those red blinking lights, and it makes me feel good. We've sat here on a lot of nights, and the little lights weren't blinking.
Sure.
And you go home feeling, you go home worrying that the interest is flagging, that the team is dying.
Remember, though, there are a lot of people that want to sit and just listen to your comments and Jeff's analysis. So
sometimes I want to hear the fans.
Sounds kind of like you're whining. You need a jack wagon, I think, is what you need. Jeez.
Hey, Joe. Come on, Joe. You got to have that one on that button number one there, because Loggy's going to call for it a lot.
Jack wagon?
Vic, you sound like a jack wagon.
All right, let's go away from mamby-pamby land. The phone lines are lit. Hey, before we do that, real quick. My estimation, the Jaguar killer, the guy that always made the big third down catch, the guy that slid behind the coverage and made the touch.
There.
Dallas Clark.
Yeah.
How much do they miss Dallas Clark? Or is Jacob Tammy, Austin Colley?
Aaron Cameron.
I mean, is the offense noticeably different without him?
No, it's from talking to a source, they run the same thing. They haven't changed one iota. All they've done is taken Tammy and put him into Dallas Clark's role and have kept on chugging. And did you have a chance to see the stats on Jacob Tammy? Since, I guess it's, I got it written down here. Since October 31st, which Dallas Clark got put on IR the 25th, Jacob Tammy leads all NFL tight ends in receptions and yards.
Dime a dozen. Receivers are dime a dozen.
That's amazing, though. I mean, you take out what people viewed as, you know, great player, and he is, because once he catches the ball, he can do things. Mm-hmm. And Tammy steps in and is leading in both categories. But the difference is that when Tammy catches the ball, he covers it up with two arms and doesn't go anywhere. Mm-hmm. Whereas Dallas Clark was, you know, a threat to make yards after the catch.
355 NFL 1. Here we go. We'll start with, where do you want to go? Let's start with Andrew in Palm Coast with a thought on playoff tickets, which is where we ended last hour. Hello, Andrew. Welcome to the show.
Good evening, gentlemen. Great job. Appreciate all your hard work. Don't want to take up too much time, but on the ticket invoicing for the playoffs was two games.
Okay, two games.
The hopeful home game for the wild card, and then we wouldn't be able to play the divisional playoffs. Then there's the potential for a AFC game. Mm-hmm. North end zone seats, where I'm at, 75 for the wild card, and $130 for the hopeful championship home game.
I know that is going to be a cold splash of water in the face of a lot of fans. That's why I wrote in my column last week before this went out, before these letters went out, before this information was revealed, is that this is a classic example of what you have here that they don't have in other NFL cities, which is to say a much more affordable product. The NFL sets the price on these playoff games. And the Jaguars worked really hard with the NFL to keep these prices down. The prices are higher in other places. These prices, the ones that a lot of people are finding outrageously high. And, hey, listen, I'm with you. I hope we get a new CBA that allows the league's teams to scale back the price of tickets, because I'm with you. It's too much money. I really believe that. But it is what it is, and the Jaguars have worked very, very hard with the league on your behalf, ticket holders and fans who want to buy tickets, to keep these prices down. What you are seeing is the price of a ticket that has been moved up closer to the league average. So at the same time that you are upset that the prices are so much higher, you might want to stop and appreciate what you have for 10 games a year, because they don't have it in other places.
I'm thrilled with what I'm paying. And $75 for a wild card game and $130, if that could ever happen, happy to pay it.
Okay, good. I'm glad you feel that way, but I am sensitive, and I'm not a jack wagon. I am.
You are tonight.
Right now, and I'm very sensitive to all the people who can't afford $130 for a ticket, or $75 for a ticket. I'm with you. I think it's too high, And I want very, very much for the commissioner and for the owners and for the players in this league to put together some kind of a CBA that allows for more affordability in ticket pricing.
I'm with you, but let me ask you a question, Andrew. Is Vic a jackwagon or not?
Vic's takes a lot of beating, so sometimes he gets a little sensitive.
Hey, what
jackwagon?
Now you're the jackwagon. Appreciate the call, Andrew. Hey,
thank
real quick,
you, gentlemen.
When I started here, 1994. A Super Bowl ticket was, for an upper deck ticket, was about $1.75.
Mm-hmm.
What is it today? Anybody know? It's been a couple years since
$600, I would have
known. No, they were over $800.
A Super Bowl ticket?
They were over $800 in 2007.
It's like a grand.
Yeah. I don't buy these things.
That's by the way, that's upper deck.
Do you know what they were for Super Bowl I?
I paid $5 each for the two here with Philly and New England.
Okay, well, that was...
What'd you sell them for?
That was 6 years ago.
Yeah.
That was 6 years ago, and you got a deal because you worked here.
Correct. That was a deal. And
you got
it
a deal
included
here.
some food, yeah, a little
got,
buffet or whatever it was.
You got that Club 39 thing they did here. Yeah. The last thing time I saw when I still worked for the club and could buy tickets through the club, the upper deck seats were north of $750.
Okay.
So what I'm saying is $130 for the championship game sounds like a heck of a deal compared
to the
Super
Bowl. Well,
no,
it wouldn't be for the championship game. He said you buy two.
Well, no, he said because
wild card game and a divisional round.
No, he said not divisional game.
Oh, that's right. That's right, because they would have to go on the road for the divisional round. That's right.
Right.
$130 for the title game.
Right.
I'm sorry.
Yeah, that's
it.
I mean, again, I understand cost being what it is. 355-NFL-1. Let's grab Mike, who joins us from the South Side. Hello, Mike. Welcome to the show.
Hey, good evening, guys. How you doing?
Good.
Okay. Hey, Jeff, let's get a little reality here. Peyton Manning's had 10 days now to prepare for a team he plays twice a year. So our secondary is obviously not going to be able to stop Peyton Manning. So the only thing that I see, the only way we can win this game is that if our defense blitz up over the center and the guards and puts pressure on Manning up the middle, because that is the only way. If you try to blitz him outside, it's not good enough. And I wanted to know what you thought of that.
Yeah, I don't think blitzing is necessarily the key. I think having the two guys that currently reside in the middle – having, I don't want to say games of their lives, but having excellent games and Terrence Knighton and then Tyson Alualu and then also a weak, healthier Legay Doosable, having those guys impact the pocket is more important than blitzing, because when you blitz, you deplete coverage, and that only helps Peyton Manning because he can identify blitzes so quickly.
You know what? Mike made a comment. He said, the secondary isn't good enough to be able to stop him. And obviously they have issues at safety this year, but when you look at his numbers against Jacksonville, they've never been good enough to stop him. I mean, he's got 36 touchdowns and 13 interceptions and a passer rating of 99.4. I mean, let's be honest.
Pretty
the
good.
Jaguars' secondary has never been good enough to beat.
No, I don't know if any secondary is, with the exception of Bill Belichick guiding one, is good enough to stop Peyton Manning. You know, to me, it's all about pressure. It's
absolutely
about putting the heat on him at critical times. You know, the stat that surprised me the most is Peyton Manning's third down passer rating. Did you see that? Have you seen that number,
I haven't,
Vic?
Jeff.
His passer rating. Okay, he's a little off this year. He's actually the 11th rated quarterback in the National Football League,
mm-hmm.
which is one behind David. Obviously, he carries a bigger burden than David.
Mm-hmm.
His fourth quarter passer rating is 8th in the National Football League, 94.8.
Mm-hmm.
His third down passer rating is 21st in the National Football League at 69.7.
Mm-hmm. That's horrible.
Yeah.
That's horrible.
And
he's having a terrible year.
Always been the knock on Peyton Manning? At crunch time,
right.
Third down's kind of crunch time.
Mm-hmm.
So what you need to do is bury their run, which is totally
saying,
possible.
How hard is it to do that?
Not hard.
The guy's been out with
not
his shoulder.
Hard.
Mike Hart's not their player.
And then put the pressure on him and some third and longs.
If there's one thing that I could have for this game, it would be Aaron Kampman. And that's because he was signed for this game. He was brought to Jacksonville by Gene Smith with this game in mind. And of course, he was a big factor in the Jaguars' win over the Colts the first time around. He was in his head. Mm-hmm. I mean, you could see Manning was trying to find him. Where is he now? He was his feelers, his behind him, you know, his eyes in the back of his head. We're looking for him at all times. And the Jaguars aren't going to have him this time, and I got to believe that that gives Manning a little more comfort than he would have going into this game with had Campman not torn his ACL.
Maybe Mincy can have a game.
Maybe.
You never know.
Maybe Mincy can
They may be Campman. Playing with Jeff Linkenbach.
Charlie Johnson, a hurt Charlie Johnson or a slow Charlie Johnson or Linkenbach. Oh, and, you know, and the Mincy's hands getting better all the time, you know.
You got to pound these guys with the running game. I mean, you just got to pound it and pound it.
And you've got to score touchdowns on every drive.
Big chunks like they did against, they've been doing for the last 5-6 weeks. You know, 5-6 yards a chunk and just jam it and jam it. And you're breaking their spirit. And all of a sudden you've got the Colts offense sitting on the sideline thinking, are we ever going to get back on the field again? And every time we get out on the field, we have to score because our defense can't slow these guys down. That's what breaks the spirit of a passing game.
355-NFL-1, 800-355-6351. Lots more to come on Jaguars this week, presented by Aetna. And, of course, we want to remind you that the Buehler Swiss Watch Company is the official watch of the Jaguars. You can get yours this Christmas season at Allen's Jewelers in Jacksonville, Robinson Jewelry Company in Fernandina Beach, Faceted Rainbow in Ocala, Kingsley Jewelry in Orange Park, and Lords and Barons Jewelers in Tallahassee. More to come right after this.
To talk to Brian, Jeff, and Vic, dial 355-NFL-1 or 1-800-355-NFL-1. Now, back to Jaguars This Week, presented by Aetna on News Talk Radio WOKV.
We can test drive the new 2011 Ford Super Duty, the new 2011 Ford Mustang, or the all-new Ford Fiesta when you visit your local Southern Ford dealers. Brian Sexton, Vic Ketchman, Jeff Loggeman, and Joe Fortunato with you for Jaguars This Week on a Wednesday. And the phone lines again stack, so let's go to Lee in Ponte Vedra to lead off this segment. Hello, Lee. Good evening.
Good evening, gentlemen. I have a comment, a couple of questions, if that's okay.
Sure.
My comment is this. I think the pressure is on the Colts. You know, they've been the leader for a very long time. I think the pressure is really on them.
That's an interesting thought. I'd like to stay there, if you don't mind, Lee, because
yes, sir, and I'd like to follow up if I could.
Go ahead.
Oh, questions. I'm sorry. Go ahead, Vic.
Jeff, what's your thoughts on that? I mean, I haven't considered who's the pressure on. Who feels tight going into this game? Now they're at home, which gives them a little feeling of comfort. But have they played so many big games that they are immune to feeling pressure?
I don't know. That's an interesting.
This could be the end of this. Could be the end of their run.
I mean, from the outside looking in, you would think that the pressure would be on the Colts. I mean, they were the ones that had the expectations. They've got Peyton Manning. You know, the Jaguars. What pressure do they have? I mean, the pundits picked them to be last in the division. You know, a team that's just having fun. I mean, pressure would seem to be on the Colts.
I haven't considered it. The idea of the pressure being on them—it's an interesting
because
thought.
They've got to win all three to get to the playoffs for a ninth consecutive year.
Uh-huh.
You know that Peyton Manning is probably not going to feel a whole lot of pressure, you know, in terms of the magnitude of the game.
But
everyone else on that team is so young. They're going to feel a lot of pressure around him, the offensive lineman will.
He's the trigger man.
But you think that'll get to him?
He's fully responsible for them.
I mean, I'm kind of, you know, early on I never really agreed with Vic, but when you watch Peyton Manning, at critical times the feet seem to get a little happier. The performance is never quite as good in the playoffs as what it is in the regular season. So
you're saying you're going to get the playoff edition of Manning?
Maybe.
I think it's a thought. I think Lee's asked a question that has got my wheels turning. I'm starting to put myself in Peyton Manning's shoes, and I'm starting to feel tight.
Here's where I thought the pressure might be felt the most. You know, Jeff Linkenbach, Kyle DeVan, Mike Pollock, Brody Eldridge, Blair White, Jacob Tammy, Mike Hart, Donald
Brown. Yeah, but they're just guys.
Well, that's what I'm saying is that Manning can.
They're playing for their careers. Manning is playing. He's playing for his
immortality.
His immortality.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Well, when you put it like that, then you're right. When you put it like that, then the pressure.
I mean, if this is the end of the line, then one's not enough. And there are a lot of people who think that Dominic Rhodes was the Super Bowl MVP, you know. And there was that, it was the matter of that Ellis Hobbs pass interference that shouldn't have been called. And all of a sudden, you know, it's all not good enough. You know, in Peyton Manning's career, it was, there was always tomorrow. There'll be another day. There'll be another day. This might be the last day.
355 NFL 1. Lee, Lee had a couple more thoughts.
Yeah.
Oh, yes, sir. Thank you. You've addressed this a little bit. You know, obviously the equation to beat the Colts is to run the ball and control the clock, keep 18 off the field. Jeff, I disagree with you. I don't think we can count on two turnovers to win the game. I think it's points. Stop the points and get the points. My real question,
by the way,
is
by the way, I'm going to stop you for 1 minute.
Yes, sir.
That formula that you're espousing there, lots of points and Jeff's two turnovers, that's exactly what won for you here on October the 3rd.
Anthony Smith.
The two fumbles.
Interception and a fumble.
Was that an interception?
It was an interception by Anthony Smith and then a caused fumble by Anthony Smith that Gerald
that ball popped in the air and he intercepted it then down by the 3-yard line. I thought, I remember it as a fumble, but that was Tammy, wasn't it? Jacob Tammy?
Or? No, Brody Eldridge.
Brody Eldridge. Yeah, and that was an interception?
Yeah, because Anthony Smith picked it off
his feet. All right, there you
are.
That one and the fumble down here at the other end, two turnovers and 30 – Jaguars scored 31?
31.
All right, so 31 points and two turnovers. Two takeaways. There's your formula right there. Score 31 and get two takeaways. No, no, you don't. No, you're better. This is a better football team now than it was on October the 3rd.
I couldn't agree more. And Jeff, I'm sorry, I was in a tree stand, and so my daughter was texting me all this information. But my question is this. We have injury to a safety and a linebacker. What is your perspective of that, and how do we step it up on defense to limit arguably one of the best quarterbacks in the league? And I'll take it off the air. And guys, thank you so much. I so appreciate all of what you do.
Okay.
Thank you.
You got it, Lee.
Thank you. Courtney Green and Justin Durant are those two players. And, yes, it is problematic, especially Courtney Green. They need him, Jeff.
Yeah, he's a good player. And the best thing about having a Courtney Green is it allows Sean Considine to play that other role, which he really thrived at when Courtney Green was on the field. So that hurts. I mean, Justin Durant doesn't hurt as much as – it would if Dallas Clark were playing, but he's not. But Justin, over the last 3 to 4 weeks, I mean, think about the number of plays that he's made at the line of scrimmage. And the fastest Jaguars linebacker that they have for covering, you know, a Jacob Tammy. It certainly doesn't help.
Okay, now I got one more question for you before we go to a break. And I don't know if you – yeah, we got time to address it.
Yeah, you got a minute and a half, 2 minutes.
What are they going to do at right tackle?
Should Guy Whimper go out and play there?
No. No, because, you know, Jordan Black has struggled in pass coverage or in pass protection, and there's no hiding that.
What are they going to do?
It's very clear. You run the ball.
What happens when you don't, when you can't run the ball?
Then you're in trouble.
You chip. What do you do?
You got to chip. You got to chip. But if you run the ball like you have the last 3 weeks, then you have no issues at right tackle. But if you get behind... Oh boy!
They ran for 174. They ran for 174 here, and neither Freeney or Mathis was a factor in the ball game.
No.
Yeah, that was on grass.
They get you in that noise.
They get at home. They're different players.
We haven't even gone there yet, have we?
Nope.
We're 90 minutes into the show. We haven't even touched on that, and we will. When Jaguars This Week returns for its final half hour, season ticket holders, use your Jaguars Rewards card when you purchase at least 10 gallons of Gate gasoline. You'll get $2 in JagBucks back. For details, Jaguars.com.
To talk to Brian, Jeff, and Vic, dial 355-NFL-1 or 1-800-355-NFL-1. Now, back to Jaguars This Week, presented by Aetna on News Talk Radio WOKV.
Lines are stacked. I want to get back to the Jaguars real quick. I just want to point out, historian of the game that you are, and someone that sees things for more than just the face value. But you realize that now we know that the Vikings are going to play outdoors at TCF Bank Stadium on the campus of the University of Minnesota on Monday night?
They weren't supposed to be able to do that because Minnesota said they shut it down for the winter. Taxpayer money built this,
yeah,
right?
Turn it on.
Turn it on for summer.
And they've been clearing it. It's going to be ready to go. Do you realize it is 28 years to the day, December 20th, it'll be the Monday night game, their last outdoor game.
Wow.
Professional football in Minnesota was December 20th, 1981, when the Chiefs beat the Vikings 10-6 outdoors at the old Metropolitan Stadium. So talk about things coming full circle. They need a new stadium. They're getting to go outdoors. Kind of going back to their roots.
Well, you know what this is going to prove?
That they belong outdoors.
What it's going to prove is that they can play professional football in that new stadium at the University of Minnesota.
And
that's what it's going to prove. They screwed this one up big time. They should have done what Pitt and the Steelers did, which is, you know, partner up on a place. I mean, come on. I mean, you can't.
Why didn't they do that?
I can't figure it out, Jeff. I mean, you can't expect the taxpayers, in today's economy especially,
two stadiums,
to dedicate $1 billion to two stadiums, you know, a half a mile apart.
One of the issues was alcohol sales.
Because it's on campus, they can't sell
it. Well, if you keep it off campus, then you don't have that problem.
Put it right on the edge of campus.
Yeah.
Or draw a line so it's not on campus.
Yeah,
do something.
Rezone it or something.
Well, on Sundays you could have rezoned it, you would think. I mean, if the legislator wanted to get it all done. But I just, full circle, 28 years to the day, they go back outdoors, which is where they were when they were great. When they were in a Super Bowl team and they played in four of them, they were an outdoor football team.
Listen, that,
it's what makes Green Bay so special.
We don't like that kind of weather. But those people up there, that's how they live.
Yeah, they love it.
I
got cousins up there. They love
it. Their ice carnival, right? They turned downtown St. Paul on the lake, on Lake Minnetonka. They turned it into a winter wonderland.
Let me say this. Go to Realtor.com and look at houses for sale in Minneapolis. And what you're going to see is three garage doors.
Yeah, because
all over the place. And the little one is for the snowmobile.
Yeah. Or it's big enough for them to slide their ice fishing shack into in the winter.
Mm-hmm.
A little bigger. It's who they are.
When they moved indoors, they lost their soul.
They actually have. I actually saw a video clip one time, and you'll get a kick out of this, Vic. A guy had custom rigged a limousine for ice fishing.
Oh, yeah.
So it had like the retractable, instead of a sunroof, you had an ice fishing floor. And it retracted, they drilled the hole, and they'd sit in the limo with the heat and just drive the limo out on the lake.
I mean,
that's living.
Those people are truly outdoors
they
people.
They are. They love the
and
weather.
And when they moved inside in 1977, I believe it was.
82.
Oh, was that?
82. Final outdoor game was December 20th, 1981.
I didn't know that. I thought it was earlier than that. But when they moved indoors, they lost their soul.
Yeah. Well, they're going back out, and I'll tell you what. I'm watching that game because those cold weather games, those bitter cold weather games, those are fun to watch.
They really are.
They're not fun to play, but they're fun to watch.
It was fun to watch this past weekend in Chicago.
Yeah, exactly.
What's the game that the Jaguars fans, you know, talk about over and over, remember most fondly from recent vintage?
Oh, the Steelers game in Pittsburgh with the snow in 07.
Yeah, but you know, they played twice there. They played in the playoffs there.
It
was the first game that had the snow. And what people have done is they have moved the snow from the regular season game into the playoff game because they want the snow. The playoff game was played in rather balmy weather.
Yeah.
Right?
Yeah, there was nothing to that game.
There's nothing to it at all. But it's the memory of the snow. It creates a stunning visual for football, and ratings, TV ratings, spike for a snow game.
I will bet you this. By the way, you understand, that stadium has 14,000 fewer seats than the Metrodome, so they can't go play there now because they don't have enough seats to make the numbers work.
University of Minnesota Stadium has 14,000 fewer seats?
Yes. Yeah.
I didn't know that.
Yep. So they can't go back and do it now.
Yeah, they can add seats to it.
I don't know what the configuration is. I mean, maybe they could, but...
No, they're screwed. They're going to have to get a new. They're going to get a new stadium now. I got to believe that Ziggy Wolf was up on the roof cutting a hole in it. when that snow came plummeting down, you know what that was? That was all the votes, all the no votes hit the ground. They're going to get a new stadium now.
Well, We'll see. You know,
I mean, you're embarrassed.
Well, and here's the other thing: is it have you been following what's going on in California? By the way, with their state, well, they're on the verge of insolvency. They're writing IOUs to their state pension fund to keep operating.
Mm-hmm.
How in the world is that going to work for them when it comes time to build a stadium?
Joe's got news.
University of Minnesota Stadium, it's like a horseshoe. There is an open end that it looks like you could easily just close it in.
Okay. Well, maybe you could. Here's the forecast for Monday. 3 degrees.
Perfect.
Sounds like Jacksonville.
355 NFL
one. You know, I finally figured out, I told Joe, it took me a while to figure out why this building is so cold. We've been freezing in here for 2 weeks. I'm so tired of winter, and the big problem is winter hasn't even started. This is still fall.
Yeah, it starts Tuesday.
But I finally figured out what the problem is in this building.
Yeah. You jack wagon!
Vic, you act like you just wanted to go back to mamby-pamby land.
But everyone out there listening now wants to know why.
The problem is the stadium don't got no heater. I'm telling you, they're just shoving air from outside through the vents, and we're supposed to think that when we feel that they're running the heater. They're just trying to fake us out. There's no heater in this building.
Can we get it again, Joe?
You jack wagon.
You know,
this is the coldest building on the face of the earth.
But you remember when we went to Minneapolis? We went to Stevens Point for training camp that summer. There was no air conditioning.
Oh,
because up there they don't need it. Up there they don't need it. Yeah, so you can imagine that they probably wouldn't put a heater in a stadium here. All right, phone lines are lit. Let's grab a couple of them before we take our final break. And let's go to Wes, who joins us from the World Golf Village. Wes, welcome to the show.
Hey, real quick, if Jason Hill was released because he was too soft, then I can't imagine how soft he is. They picked up Ted Ginn in the offseason, and he's as soft as they come. As far as my question is, Vic, I want to ask you: are you a bulletin board guy? Do you cringe when you hear bulletin board material?
No, that stuff is all crap.
It doesn't bother you at all.
I don't think it has any effect on professional football.
Vic just likes it as from a readership standpoint.
Yeah, it's for you. All that stuff is for you guys. It's all for readers. It's all part of the fun that goes with these kinds of games. It's not for the players. It's for the fans.
The reason why I ask is, I don't know if you recall or heard about David Garrard's tweet a few weeks ago about Peyton Manning.
Yeah, I know about it.
When he threw all those picks.
Mm-hmm.
Do you think that crosses Peyton Manning's mind at all?
Yes.
So it is a fact.
No, I just see that stuff.
Was it part of the interview process today? Was David asked about it?
No, he wasn't. He's been asked about it in the past. It hasn't become any kind of an issue. Maybe after the game, if the Colts win, Manning will stand up and say, you know, David Garrard dissed me.
He wouldn't do that.
Vic.
He disrespected me.
Vic, will Garrard be wearing a fedora at about 5 o'clock on Sunday or no?
He wants a prediction.
Hey, listen, I was going to ask him today, and I couldn't get the question in, but I will say this. A fan, a reader, sent me a fedora. I've got it in my office.
You're going to wear
it?
A real one or a paper
one? A real fedora.
One?
Oh, no. I was sent a real fedora.
You got to wear
fedora. I'm going at the appropriate time. The fedora will reappear.
Sweet. Maybe the fedora could make an appearance on
get it
Jaguars All Access.
You want to see it?
Yeah, I want to see it.
Okay.
I want to see it.
Okay.
And maybe Brian can put it at, like, tweet it or something.
Yeah, I'll take a picture of it, and I'll tweet it out. Can we do that?
Okay, sure. Yeah.
All right, let's do that. We'll get that. If you want to see it, at Jags Voice, you got to follow me. At Jags Voice, and I will tweet it out here real quick. Well, let's take the break right now so you can go get it. I'm excited.
Jack wagon in a fedora.
It's been a good show, folks. We're back after this on News Talk Radio WOKV.
To talk to Brian, Jeff, and Vic, dial 355-NFL-1 or 1-800-355-NFL-1. Now, back to Jaguars This Week, presented by Aetna on News Talk Radio WOKV.
Welcome back, Jaguars This Week. The picture is taken. It is being posted to Twitter right now. Mm-hmm. At Jags Voice is my Twitter account if you want to see it, at Jags Voice. So hopefully that will be up there and you can see it. As soon as I get logged in here, I'll make sure it's there.
Okay.
All right. Callers on the line, 355-NFL-1. Let's grab Chris, who joins us from the north side of town. Chris, welcome to the show.
Thank you, guys. First, I have a comment about the receiver, Jason Hill. I was very happy to see that play. It was like we finally got that play to go for us, and he got some major separation between himself and the defender. And my second well, I mean, I have is about Rasheem Mathis is that it looked like to me he played a little better in that game, and I'd like to know if you guys think that that was a key.
He's playing better, isn't he, Jeff?
Yeah, he played better this past week. You know, but boy, you know, we've kind of been down on Rasheem, and you know, we're talking about these two takeaways, you know, these two interceptions or whatever you want, however you want to get them.
Mm-hmm.
And Rasheem's what, got one interception on the year?
Yes, the one in Dallas.
Boy, would it be timely for him to go to Indy?
Yeah,
and have a couple.
You know, though, I have decided that that is the formula for victory: 31 points and plus two in takeaways. That's what won for you on October 3rd, along with a 59-yard field goal. And I think that that's the formula again.
Mm-hmm. Yep. I know you're right.
It's up. The picture's been tweeted.
Jack Wagon in a fedora.
All I said was Vic's fedora. And we'll leave that. If you want to see it, folks, at Jag's Voice.
Whoever sent it, thank you.
You don't know.
No, it came with a note, but I didn't get much in the way of an explanation or an identification.
All right, let's go talk to Eric.
All right, Eric is up next, 355-NFL-1. Eric, welcome to the show.
Hey, guys, how's it going?
Good.
I just wanted to comment. I'm usually at work during the game, so I get to listen to you, Brian, and Jeff. And I love hearing you guys, and I've actually gotten to the point this season, for example, Sunday, I muted the TV to turn on the radio.
Thank you very much.
So I actually missed, what was it, that first quarter call, the illegal contact after the huge play that the defense had that gave them the first and goal.
I remember an illegal contact.
I'm trying to remember.
Mm-hmm.
There were two just bad plays. Bad calls.
Yeah, it was Derek Cox got called for the illegal contact.
Right. There was
and it was on a third down play in which the Jaguars had made a stand.
Yeah.
The TV, they just were talking about the huge stand, and then two plays later, it's like, okay, what happened? There was a first down. There was a flag. They're like, oh, that was an illegal contact that gave them the first down.
Yeah, you know, it's the way it is in the National Football League this year. Penalties are up. Penalty yards are up. Fines are up. The amount of the fines are up, and so are concussions. It's not none of this is making any sense.
So, Eric, what was your point though? The TV missed it.
Yeah, they gave no coverage to it. They were just you missed it. You heard the ref pipe in for first down, and then all of a sudden you just went, well, wait, what was that? And three plays later, they told you, oh, well, that was a illegal contact penalty.
Well, why were you listening to the TV?
At that point, I was still watching it. I just started it, so I hadn't turned it on yet.
That caused the change.
You jackwagon!
Come on, you jackwagon, Eric!
Hey, don't jackwagon me tonight.
Hit him again!
Oh, hey, they got a tough guy.
You jackwagon!
It's Vince complaining about not having the heat in the place.
Merry Christmas. We'll
Merry
leave it
Christmas.
At that.
All right, Eric.
Thanks. Eric. 355-NFL-1. Folks, you better bring it hard and fast tonight.
Was that the first official caller that got Jaguagon?
Yes, that
was.
Yeah,
Eric, no one's going to call now.
Oh, they will. Yeah, no, they will. You should get people to call and want to tangle with you, V. Let's go to Keith in Mandarin. Hello, Keith. Welcome to the show.
Hey there. Good night. Good evening. How are you guys?
Good.
Good. Hey, I got two things. The first is, when you started the show, you talked about since Jones-Drew joined the Jaguars, the rushing yards we had versus the Colts.
Correct.
But it'd be interesting to know what the yardage, passing yardage was, because Colts win most of their games by passing, not running. And if we can't run the ball, we're going to have to relate to the pass, and it's going to be tough.
Jaguars have never beaten the Colts throwing the ball.
No, they rush the passer as good as anybody in the league, and then for years they've had a pretty strong secondary, although that's not the case this year.
Right. Now, the second thing I think was one of the most important, you talking about ticket prices earlier for wild card and or playoff games. That's the easiest solution that you just touched on a while ago. For all the fines that are going on this year in the league, put it in a kitty and the NFL teams that make the playoff, split it amongst the fans, so basically you can buy a $70 ticket, the league pays half, and the spectator pays half. That would solve that problem.
Well, there's a lot of charities that would be very upset that money didn't go to. Because that's where the league fines go. It gets divvied up amongst a bunch of different charities. So,
player get the write-off for that?
If you think the players would sign off on that idea, forget it.
I don't know how that works.
I'm just curious.
I never got a league fine, so.
You didn't?
No.
You never got fined?
And you were saying the other night you used to lead with the crown of your helmet.
I did all the time.
And you never got a fine?
No.
Well, I mean, you were encouraged to do that.
Yeah, I mean, that's kind of how you tackle. But I never did get fined by the league. I got a letter when Warren Moon threw an interception, and he was standing there watching the return, and I whacked him. And then he tried to get up, and I whacked him again. Can you imagine how much money that would have, that fine would have been nowadays, where he's just standing there 40 yards away from the play?
How much would Gerard Warren be fined for the hit that he laid on Mark Brunell in 2001?
What did he get? It was like $35,000.
Oh, yeah, but it'd be $100,000 now.
Yeah, I mean, it would be huge.
If you're going to hit James Harrison for $75,000 for the hit on a receiver, imagine that hit on a quarterback.
James Harrison got $25,000 for the hit on Ryan Fitzpatrick.
A form tackle.
It was a form tackle.
Yeah, the one that he had on the receiver.
Massaqua
was terrible fine. I mean, didn't the receiver duck his head?
$75,000.
Yeah, the receiver ducked his head. I don't get.
Well, what's his name? Middleton got fined today. Got notice of his fine today. Insignificant.
What's insignificant these days? $12,500.
Whoa! No, that's what Jack called it. He said it wasn't very significant. So I'm guessing
for a paycheck like Jack's or for Rasheen Mathis, maybe insignificant. For William Middleton, that's
right.
Money.
I'm guessing somewhere between $5,000 and $10,000.
$5,000, it was reported.
Is that what was reported? Mm-hmm. $5,000. Has anyone heard anything on Considine? He had an issue a couple plays later. I'm wondering if he got.
All right, let's.
I don't know what you're talking about.
Let's grab.
Well, it doesn't matter. I mean, they're out now. By now, I was just curious as to whether he got whacked for a couple grand or not.
Dave is in Orange Park. Probably be our final caller of the night. Hello, Dave.
Hey, how you doing, guys?
Good.
I was wondering, do you think, you see these defensive backs and corners and stuff when they're going for their tackles, you see them going for the ball a lot more and missing a lot more tackles. Do you think that has anything to do with all these fines that are being handed out, that they're kind of really just afraid to hit?
I think there is definitely going to be a breakdown or a, I guess you could say, a lessening of quality tackling now with the fear of getting fined.
Mint said it to us on TV.
Yeah.
He said that he thinks about it. Before he hits, he thinks. That's not the intent of this game.
And football's not for a thinking man.
No.
You know what I mean? Oh, boy.
They've got – but what I said earlier and to the previous caller, that penalties are up, fines are up, and concussions are up 21% over last year.
Reported concussions.
But the same procedure system for reporting and testing for concussions is in place that was in place last year. So it is credible data. It's telling me that the system isn't working. Try something else.
What tells me is that the players are more willing to come forward. That's what it tells me.
Hey, Dave, stay on the line because you're the Metro PCS Caller of the Week. And you're going to get a Jaguars prize pack. Remember, with no signed contracts, Metro PCS lets you unlimit yourself. And we're also going to give you the 20 Jaguar scratch-off tickets from the Florida Lottery. To play the Jaguars scratch-off game, visit a Florida Lottery retailer near you. And we are just about done with the show. I have...
What's the forecast
36
for Indy?
People, by the way.
20 degrees.
20 degrees outdoors. The low on Saturday
and
night.
And snow.
They're getting some snow this week.
Some flurries.
Yeah, they're going to open the roof.
Oh, no. No.
For the fly-through, yes. they're going to do a fly-through.
Not a fly-over.
The plane's going to come through that window in the end zone and then out the roof.
That'd be sweet.
By the way, I've had like 26 people sign on to follow because they wanted to see the picture of you.
Oh, good.
So if you want to see Vic in his fedora, resplendent just like David Garrard.
If I had known, I'd have put on my purple tie.
You got a purple jacket to match?
No, Joe does, though.
From back in the glory days at Kent State?
Joe does.
Joe's is actually maroon in his leather.
If he brings that red leather jacket again.
Oh, he will.
I like it.
It's 70s Joe.
I thought he was selling.
You thought he was Starsky or Hutch, really?
I thought he was a drug dealer.
That was kind of Starsky and
Hutch.
It was
Starsky. What do they call him? Huggy Bear.
Huggy Bear.
Yeah. I don't think.
I can't hear it either.
Yeah. Well, he's going to be done with Dave in just a sec, so we're going to tell him that his red leather jacket has earned him the nickname of Huggy Bear. Huggy Bear. That's Huggy. That's a Huggy jacket.
Doesn't this kid play? Didn't he used to play for the Raiders? Or he still play
Raiders? Justin Fargus. He does not play for the Raiders.
Because I got a hat for you to wear with your red leather jacket.
I got a hat. No, I can't wear the red leather jacket. It's not. It's going to be way too cold for that. And I'll give myself a
that jacket. That jacket will freeze.
The game is indoors.
The jacket will freeze solid, break.
It's final.
It's going to be cold.
Yeah, Jack.
I'll give myself a jacket.
All right. Well, that'll do it for the show. Everyone wants a prediction. Does anyone want to make one, or do we just want to let this one play out?
I'm picking the Jaguars.
Me too.
I'm picking them because I want them to bury them.
But what do you think?
I think they're going to
win. I don't know. This is one of them games, Vic, that I think that they can go up there and just manhandle them, but also it's a game that the Colts have the potential to get ahead early, and it could be trouble.
I think it's
just a hard game for me to pick.
I think the Jaguars can throw, too, because remember, they're playing with a patched together. The only regular in their secondary is the safety. But
this is a tipping point in Jaguars history.
And we'll leave it at that. Guys, have a great weekend. We'll see you on the plane on Saturday. We'll talk to you for kickoff at 1 o'clock on Sunday. Sunny's Real Pit Barbecue, tailgate show, 10 a.m. Sunday morning right here on News Talk Radio, WOKV. Depend on it.